All right, we're talking about Do You Have Power? We're continuing our series today, Do You Have Power? And last week we talked about this thought, the power of connection, the power of connection. We talked about the importance last week of staying connected, that in our lives that we don't have power because we're not connected to what God's doing. We talked about how this is a power cord, but unless you plug it in, there's no power there. And so that many times in our life, we are living our life unplugged to what God has for our life. And that God's got something great he wants to do in our life, that many times our lives are not broken, our marriage is not broken, our finances are not broken, our children are not broken, our health is not broken, but many times we're just not plugged in. We're not plugged in to what God wants, and we think we're out of power, but the reason why we're out of power is because we're just not plugged in. We got to wake up and plug in to what God is doing, to what God is saying, to what God is leading, to what God is showing. Where you go, I'll go. Where you say, I say. Yes, God. We are going to stay connected to what God is doing. There is the power source. We know that he is the force behind everything that we do. He is the power source. And that he is wanting to put his power in our lives to operate. Throughout this whole series, we've been talking about that power, that God is wanting to team up with me. Does God have to use me? No, he does not have to. But he chooses to operate his power through us in faith. That when we move in faith, that God chooses to operate through us. And that it's our faith, us moving in faith, that moves the heart of God and releases his power to be unleashed on this earth as he works through us as willing vessels. So we're staying connected. Today I want to talk to you about staying connected to the power of vision. The power of vision. That we have a vision. And how many know that a lot of people see, but very few have vision? I think it was Helen Keller who actually said that one time. She said the poorest thing that she knew about was people who had sight but no vision. And today it's so true that many times in our life, that we live our life, we see, but we have no vision. And the reason we have no vision is because we're not connected to what God is speaking. That God is speaking vision to those who are listening. That God is directing and God is leading fresh vision to those who are listening. And today we're going to get into this power of vision. Then I've got some things I want to share with you today. I'm so excited. I'm glad you're here today. This is a very important service, and God has you here for a reason. The power of vision. I want to look at 1 Chronicles 29:3 as we open up today. And let's look at David. David had called the whole nation of Israel together. God had given him a vision for the temple. And as he begins to share, this is what he says to him. Besides in my devotion to the temple of my God, the house of God, I now give my personal treasures of gold, silver, the temple of my God, over and above everything I have provided for this holy temple. Now we see what is happening here. Of course, this whole vision that he cast is so long and detailed here. We're not going to take time to read the whole thing, but let's give you a small tidbit of what he was saying. But what David was saying, he was calling the whole people to share the vision. The God had called them to share this vision to the whole nation. And let's back it up in 28:12. Let's talk about the vision God had given him. And look what it says here. This is the vision that he's sharing. Let's go back to chapter 28 and 12. And it says right here, he gave him, who's he talking? God. God gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord and all surrounding rooms for the treasuries of the temple of God and for the treasuries of the dedicated things. What we see here is David sharing to the people of Israel, as he called the nation together, saying this, this is the vision God has given me. And he called them forth very clear. That the Spirit, he was sharing the plans, which is the vision, the blueprint. That's what that translates. The plans, this translates in Scripture to blueprint. That God had given David, by the Spirit, a blueprint to the vision. And today, I want to tell you that it's the Spirit of God that speaks vision in our lives. It's the Spirit of God, and we see this as our point number one, that the power of vision first always, that the vision is introduced by the Spirit of God. The vision is introduced by the Spirit of God, and it's God's Spirit that gives true vision. David received by the Holy Spirit the blueprint, the plan, Scripture says, that he shared that plan to the nation of Israel, what was implanted in his heart through the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God spoke to him. It was in his spirit. Habakkuk 2:2 is a very famous vision scripture that we use a lot. It says, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets, that he who reads it. Now, we've used this several times, and we always use this. You know, we got to write it down and make it plain. But what was he talking about here? One of the things we overlook is Habakkuk 1:1 instead of 2:1. Look what it says. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. And so what was he writing down? It was the burden. He was writing down the vision was the burden today. And we see this, that the Holy Spirit is always the one who speaks fresh vision. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us. And how do we know? Because he gives us a burden to see something accomplished. Okay? It's not a desire for our own will to further ourselves. The vision from God is not a desire to make our name great or to do anything for glory. But a vision from God always comes through what? Through the burden of the Holy Spirit. It's the burden of the Holy Spirit that Habakkuk was first burdened with, and then he wrote it out, make it plain on the vision, that people can see the burden that God is laying on our heart. God, the Holy Spirit, spoke to David, and David made it very clear. This is the blueprint that God has put in my heart. This is the blueprint that God is speaking to me as your leader, that God is calling us to go further. Vision is birthed out of a burden. We see that burden always births vision. That today, if you have a burden for ministry in your heart, if there's something God is putting there, a burden, he's wanting you to have a vision for that. That when God, if God is giving you a burden for to help people who maybe are homeless, he's wanting to give you not only a burden, but he wants to give you a vision to help reach people who are homeless. If God's giving you a burden for young people, he wants you to help you get a vision to see young people come to Christ. If God is giving you a burden for people who have been hurt by church or people who have been out of church for a long time, then God's going to give you a vision how to reach those people, okay? You see, the burden always produces a vision if we allow it. When we're connected to the Holy Spirit, I get a burden for things that God wants. Where God goes, I want to go. What God says, I want to say. What God prays, I want to pray. Lord, the things that hurt you, the things that move you, those are the things that burden my heart. The things you said I'm supposed to be doing in your word, those are the things that burden my heart. I see they're not being done. There's kids that go to school with my maybe your kids, and they say, you know what? I've got a burden. These kids, they could use some more school supplies. They could use clothes that look better. That's a burden that God's birthing in you. Maybe you get with other parents and PTOs, and you figure out a way to help these kids out. That's getting the vision that started off by the Holy Spirit putting the burden in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the burden to see the vision, and the vision comes out through the Holy Spirit. Vision is introduced by the Holy Spirit. It's given to us. The vision is ever-growing. The vision is ever-growing. You realize that? That once you have a vision that it's ever-growing, that it doesn't change, I mean, it changes over time. You have a vision how to reach people, and how you reach them should always be growing, that God is changing that vision, that you may have a vision and you may take out, and after a few years you may see that God's wanting to expand that vision. God's wanting to grow that vision. God's wanting to take you somewhere beyond where you're at. And he used the first vision to get you to point A or B. And then when he gets there, then he shows you even more, a bigger picture. And you see, because if he showed you that big picture in the very first, you'd have chickened out. God, there's no way I could do that. God, there's no way I could ever see myself doing that. God, there's no way. And so God knows that, and so he gives you a vision to see, are you going to be obedient with the small vision I give you? Are you going to be obedient with the small thing I've given you to be faithful over? And as you do that in obedience, and then he releases the bigger picture for your vision to see. So the vision is ever growing. Let me say this. Is there ever a point in time when vision is not necessary? You ever thought about that question? Is there ever a point in time when vision is not necessary? I say yes. When God's work is completely done, then we don't have a need for vision. So my question today is, God's work completely done? Then we should be having vision. We should have fresh vision. Well, Pastor, there's enough churches in this town doing stuff. We just don't need it. How many know people who need to know God in your workplace, in your family? How many people who aren't going to church anywhere that need to be reached? Do you know people? Obviously, there's a need that God wants to do, and he's still looking for people who have a vision. He's still looking for people who want to say yes to the vision of the Holy Spirit, that we operate and expand and use the vision that he's given us. So vision always suggests there is more and God wants to do here. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Look what it continues to say here. David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous. And what? Do the work. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. David was saying to him, said, hey, just do it. Some of you think Nike coined that phrase, but it wasn't. David had it right here. He told Solomon, just do it, man. Just do the vision. Just go after the vision. Be productive. Don't be fearful. Just go after the vision. The second part of the vision we see here, number two, the vision, the power of vision always includes the presence of God. The power of vision always includes the presence of God. God will be with us. That's what David said. Don't fear, for God will be with us. How many know that our God is bigger than any economy? You don't sound convinced. How many know our God is bigger than the economy? Okay. And so this is one of the things that happens in vision. When God's given fresh vision, sometimes they go, Pastor, do you know the state of the economy? Do you know where we're at in the economy? And you're wanting us to think about having expanding our vision and doing things. We just need to wait until the economy begins to rise a little bit, and then we'll see. You know, that's trusting in man. That's trusting in the stock market. How many know that God, when God gives vision, he's known all along what the economy is going to be like? How many know that the president we have in now, we elected for 4 years, and if he's fortunate, he'll get another 4 years? But a president never serves more than 4 to 8 years. It's just a term thing. And he can only help or hurt the economy for 4 to 8 years. And so, you know, our God is not elected to an office. Our God's not serving a term. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he knew when he speaks vision, he knew what the economy is going to be like. And he says this, I want you to trust me anyway. Don't worry about the economy. It's going to go up. It's going to go down, but I never change. Don't worry about what the finances are going to come from because I am the God. I speak vision. You operate in faith, and God's going to do the rest. He's not taken back by the economy. He says, fear not. Don't walk in fear. Don't walk in fear. God has never called us to walk in fear. The presence of God, God is with us. Genesis 26. And verse 1 first says this, now there was a famine in the land. How many know the famine is a bad time? When it's a bad time. When a famine's happening, what do? You don't plant crops in a famine. Why? Because there's no rain. The ground is not producing any fruit or soil. And man, so you don't plant and you don't sow anything during a famine because you're throwing away the harvest. You're wasting your money and labor. You're wasting your time. You're wasting the seeds you're planting. You wait until you know the ground is ready for harvest before you plant. Right? Well, look what happened here in Genesis 26. Now, there was a famine in the land, and Isaac planted crops in that land. Isaac, why did I? Because God had led him. God had led him to the place of the promise. God had given Isaac and Abraham a vision for the future. And even though there was a famine in the land, Isaac planted his crops in that land. And in the same year, he reaped 100-fold. Because why? Because the Lord had blessed it. Everybody else was thirsty. You know what Isaac did? Everywhere he dug a well, it produced water. And people go, well, how'd you get that well? Give me that water. He, all right, you just have it. I'll go plant another well. He dig another well. Water come out. How'd you get that water? We can't find water anywhere. And they take that well. He's like, that's sure. Because everywhere he planted, God produced water. Everywhere he planted, God produced 100-fold. You're talking about living in blessing. Don't be afraid to plant during famine. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't be afraid in your life with vision. When God's speaking to you, don't be afraid to say, you know what? I just don't see it happening. I don't see my marriage getting any better. See it, because God says plant during the famine. I don't ever see my kids coming back to know God. Listen, you see it, because it may look dry, it may look barren, but God says plant there when God gives you a vision to believe and to have a burden. You plant there and see what God does. Why? Because God doesn't want man to get credit. He wants to get credit. He doesn't want you and I to get glory. He wants to get the glory. Oh, come on, you know what I'm saying today. God is what? God's presence is there. He is with us. God is always leading us. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Look at 1 Chronicles 28, 20 says. We just read it a while ago. Let's read it one more time. David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous. Do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not, what? He will not fail you or what? Forsake you until all the work for the service of the temple of the Lord is finished. So what's he saying here? Come here, Pastor Matt. This is what he's saying. God is saying this, I am with you right now. God is with us. What does it mean to fail? We looked that up, that means this. That means that God never sends us out to complete the vision. Fail means he falls behind, okay? That's what that literally translates to in the scriptures. We studied that, it means to fall behind. So God never puts us out there and he falls behind to watch us. You just get out there and do your own little thing. Yeah, we'll see if you make it or not. If you do all right, then I'll catch up with you. No, scripture says he never falls behind me. It also says he never will what? Forsake me. Forsake, as you study that, means what? It means to go ahead. That means that God never leaves me out here. That God's vision's out here and I'm back here. No, he's not behind me. He's not ahead of me. So where is he? He says, I will be with you, beside you. I will walk with you. I am the God of life. He told Moses, I am, not I was, not I shall be, but the God of I am, present tense. God is with me. That means no matter what I walk through in my life, God is with me. That means if I got a vision to see, God, you know what, God, you're leading me down a road. I don't know where I'm going, but God, it's all right. Because what? No weapon formed against me shall prosper because the Lord is with me. He's not forsaking me ahead of me, and he's not failing me behind me. He is with me right now. Awesome. See, God is with us right now. We have a present tense God that he is here. He is here. And when he gets vision, he's looking for somebody to say, God, come and walk with us. God, we're ready to do what you do. We're ready to say what you say. We're ready to go where you go. We're ready to do what you want us to do. God, we're ready. God, we believe, God, that there still is a vision to reach the harvest. There's still a vision to do something beyond ourselves. God, you're calling us, God, to dream big dreams, God, and to go after your vision that is birthed out of a burden. He doesn't leave us or forsake us, but he is there. He says, I will be with you. Look what 29 verse 2 says. With all my resources, this is David talking, with all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. Now, he's speaking to the vision. He was saying this, I'm prepared to sow whatever it takes into the vision. I'm prepared, God, to follow your vision. God, I'm prepared to do whatever it takes, Lord, to give everything. He says, with all my resources. He wasn't just talking about money. He was talking about his effort, his time. He was talking about his treasure. He was talking about his heart. He was talking about everything. He said, God, with all my resources, I have provided for the temple of my God. He was speaking to the plans. God, I've given you everything. God, I'm ready to invest everything I have to advance your vision. God, I'm ready to invest everything I am to advance your vision. What was he saying? He said, I'm ready to do my best. That's what he was promising. God, I'm going to do my best. God, I'm giving you everything I am. I'm going to do my best. So how do I invest into the vision? How do I invest into the vision that God's laying out? I got to do my best. We need people who here at Destiny Church, as we expand our vision, to say, you know what, Pastor, I'm ready to give my best. I'm ready to be faithful. We need people here who, I want to see you about once a month. You need to be here every service. If you're not on vacation or sick, you need to be here. We need to commit. You know what, as for me and my family, we need to be here. We got people here today that we need to invest in. You know what, I'm ready to step out and lead a small group. I'm ready to get connected with people. I'm ready to serve in the area of ministry. I'm ready to teach children. I'm ready to serve people. I'm ready to start an outreach. I'm ready to do something. I'm ready to get behind the vision because where you go, I go. What you say, I say. God, lead me in your spirit. What you pray, I pray. It's a vision that God is leading all of us to. And he says, I want you to give your best. I want you to get to follow after this. It's what God is asking of us, to give our best. When we give our best, we still realize that our best is not good enough. You know that? Our best is not good enough. We still need God to do a miracle. But it's when we give our best, the offering of God, this is what I have to give, God, and I give it to him, then he always, always steps in and makes the difference and blows our socks off, man. He always does that because God is a God who knows what he's doing. He gives a vision to the burden. He is with us, and God is leading us. I want you to watch this video this morning. We're going to talk about present directional vision and where we're going as a church and the power of the vision that God has given us. Why don't you go ahead, guys, play that.
We have vision. At Destiny Church, we believe in the power of vision. I believe that God is calling us to expand our vision, to begin to dream big dreams and to see what God wants to do in the life of Destiny Church. All along, God has always given us vision from the very beginning. We believe that Scripture teaches us that where there is no vision, people die, they perish. And we believe in the power of vision takes us beyond what we could ever dream or imagine on our own, but God takes us to a place of seeing things done for his kingdom that just will blow our mind. And we're excited about what God's done in the past, and we're excited about what God's going to do in the future of Destiny Church. When we first started Destiny Church a little over 4 years ago, It started with a vision. We met in a basement home with a small group of people, seven families. Seven families got together and we prayed and sought God's will for our lives and for Destiny Church. And remember that first Sunday we opened up the doors at the Holiday Inn, just praying that somebody would show up, and to our amazement, people began to come. And over that next year and a half, that people began to come, and we saw a small group of people grow into 100 people there coming at the Holiday Inn. And then when we had a vision to move out of that place, that they called us and said, hey, we got a building ready for you. Would you like to move there? And we're like, there's no way we can really afford this building. But God made a way, and we moved in. And what didn't seem was possible, God made possible to happen. People pulled together, worked hard. And where we're at now presently is just a miracle of what God has done. It's a vision that came to pass. We've seen God do a miracle in our midst with his vision. I believe that God now is wanting us to dream again and have a fresh vision for Destiny Church. It's time for us to begin to think about getting property of our own, finding a place where God wants us to establish our church campus at on a more permanent basis, a place where we're not be throwing our money away to the lease, but we can begin to property, buy property that's our own and purchase that for God's kingdom. So looking around, I know it's going to take a lot of land, it's going to take a lot of resources, but we serve a big God who wants us to dream big dreams and have a big vision. I believe we have a vision to reach people. All along, we told God we would reach people for his kingdom. I believe God is calling us to think outside the box and to dream again. We want to have a place where we can reach people. And part of that vision is a sanctuary that will seat several hundred people, that we can have a floor space, that we can have multi-purpose things, events happening, but also have a riser space in the back that we can add on to have plenty of room to grow, because we believe God's going to send people. We believe if we build it, they will come, and God's got a place for people to come. We want to build a state-of-the-art auditorium that will have professional sound and audio and visual, so people can really come and be impacted, this generation, to hear the message of Jesus Christ in a way they can understand. So we're excited about the future. It's going to take 10 to 14 acres of land. It's going to take a building committee coming together, architects and things helping us do this big plan. But we got to be in the dream. We've got to take steps forward and say, God, what are you calling us to do right now? Prepare for the future. I believe God is calling us right now to prepare for the future, to dream big, to have a big vision for our life. For you to be committed to the vision and say, I want to be a part of the vision that God is calling us here at Destiny Church. Today, I'm asking you, dream again. Have a vision for your life. Allow God to work in you. And together, as we come together in unity and dream again, that God's going to bring the vision to pass. I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about God's vision for our Destiny Church. I'm excited to have you a part of this vision. The best is still yet to come.
So today we begin to dream. Today we begin to talk about the vision of the future and where God is calling us. Now, first of all, some of you are thinking, Pastor, what, have you found property already? What's going on? No, we're not there. We're not there yet, but we got to start this process right now of looking, God, where are you calling us to go? God, where you want us to be? And today we know that we have vision. So let me give you some directional vision, some present directional vision that we need to be operating in right now here at Destiny Church this next year. Over this next year, first of all, we need to begin to locate 10 to 14 acres. You guys got that? If you bring it up, please. We need to begin to locate 10 to 14 acres of property. It's going to take a lot of land to build a campus that's going to have the room to hold us, what we need to do. And we have a vision. We don't want to be landlocked. And so when we buy property, we want to have vision in the future, not only for what the present building we build, but also for expansion and what God wants to do. And so we want to find a place that allow us to grow and a place that would allow us to see things happen. So we're going to need 10 to 14 acres of property. We've already started the process of looking at land. We're working right now at looking at different properties that are available. The finance committee and I have already looked at some places that are available, and we're still looking. We haven't decided on anything yet. If we do decide on something, of course, we'll bring it to the voting membership and let you guys see that, and we'll talk about that. So we have no land that's located yet, so don't. I'm out there, even though it's out there on some generic land, that may or may not be the place we're at. So some of you thinking, do we have property picked out? No, we don't, but we need to start that process right now. Begin to locate the 10 to 14 acres of property. We need to form a building committee. Get some of the people in our church that we know that have commercial building experience and bring them together who can help assist the finance committee and putting together the plans that we need and deciding how we want to move forward in the building operation of this church. We got to work with architects to secure building designs and plans. We got to have the architects who He'll help us sit down and put the vision to paper, and so we can sit down and put a price tag to it and what it's going to cost and what we need to do, what's feasible to go for phase one and what's going to be phase two and phase three down the road. And so we got to work with this. And so we're going to begin to look for the property, put the building committee together, working with the architects to secure our building designs and plans. We're also going to start a property fund. And so today we're not going to enter into a capital campaign right now. We're not going to do it. We're not ready to do that at this point because we don't know the total cost of what it's going to cost us to build everything we need. But one thing we do know, we're going forward. We got a vision to do that. And so as we're looking for property, we're going to need equity built up to put in for some property when we get ready to purchase that. So today, as we go forward, we're not buying lakeside property. Don't worry. That's just a generic slide. They're working on the computer back there. Don't worry about that at all. They'll have that working in a few minutes. So you're like, man, Pastor, you got a big vision, man. I see the youth there, man. We're going to swim, open up a water park, everything, okay? They're working that out. So we're working with the architects and we're starting the property fund. So what I'm asking you to do is, as God's leading you, if you want to start giving to that right now, we need to start building that equity fund up over this next year. So just putting some in it, maybe a little bit every week, or if you have a large sum you want to give, or you get your income taxes back and you want to give some, whatever it is that God's leading you to do that, there's no high pressure thing, but as God's, you want to be a part of the vision, God's speaking to you to give to that vision, we want you to start giving now to that so we can build equity up to purchase the property. And when we find a property, we're going to need a cash flow to get that purchase and to move forward in our capital campaign. So let's start that now. Let's be good stewards now. We look around, we have room to grow here this morning. We know that, but we know it's not going to last forever. As we look around, it's getting full. Our classrooms are getting full. Our auditorium's getting full. And so even though we have room to grow, we don't want to wait until we don't have room to grow before you start building. It takes a while to get the vision, the plan to come to pass. And so we need to start now. God is prompting us now to be good stewards and begin to look ahead and to have a vision for the future. We got to be ready to start the second service when necessary. The time comes, we run out of space, we're going to need to move to second service. And when that happens, I'm going to come to you and ask. I need 75 to 100 people who will commit to coming to the early service for the first 6 months who will help me get that thing kicked off the ground. And we're going to need workers who will come and help the children's classes. We're going to need all of us pulling together to pull up that second service to allow room to continue to grow when we get to that point. And so this is the things we got to be ready for this year. The purchase of equipment and a new website to allow us to broadcast our services on the internet. This is also where we're heading this year, though. You heard me talk about it last year. I threw it out there last year. We're moving really close to that. We've got people working on what we need, what's going on. We got an electrician talking about running the wires. We're going to have to add some more lights to our stage so we can have it bright enough to broadcast on the web and then get in the equipment. And I'll be bringing that to you at a later date. Hopefully, real soon, I can bring that to you. And we're going to have what it needs to purchase that. We'll have to purchase that equipment to allow us to do the video recording and editing and have the website that will handle that kind of atmosphere where we can come. But you can download the messages not only through hearing them on the iPod now or on the computer, but you'll be able to watch it 24/7. So if you miss a service, you can go there, but you can have people all around the world watching the services. You can, if something happens, you go home on Facebook, you got to go to this website and watch the message today. God can get that out there. And we can see God's message spread around the world through this one medium. It's not a very expensive thing to do at all. We got the people in the in-house who can do it. And so we need to release them. We got video majors here, and we got people who have editing experience. We got to release them to do what God's wanting, gifted them to do. And so I believe today that this is a big vision for this year. And obviously, you see there, obviously, what you see in the blueprints there, that's not a final blueprint. We haven't worked with the architect yet. It may look similar to what we would like, but we're going to put that together, and we'll bring that to you as we get closer to that, and we'll be keeping you up to date. But we've got to begin the vision, okay? We've got to begin the dream again and see what God wants to do. We know this, that God is calling us. How many just in your heart say, Pastor, I just know in my heart that God's got a big plan for Destiny Church. Do you believe that, man? We know that. This is very evident. God's got a big plan. And today, we got to be obedient to that. We can't get too comfortable. We can say, God, you got a vision you want to expand us to and lead us to. So this is where we're going. This is where we're going over this next year. We're going to start this process of discovering who we are and discovering the new place we're going to be at. So don't worry. We're not going to come next week with pledge cards or anything like that. So some of you are thinking, she's jumping really fast. No, we're not doing that. We're going to take our time, put together, make sure we have all the specs ready, have great plans to bring to you. But we are moving forward. And that's exciting to think about. We're moving forward, beginning to dream about the next phase of the building. And so what do? We talk about the power of vision. What's the last thing here I want to talk to you about? The power of vision number three, it inspires commitment. It inspires commitment from the people of God. It always does. True vision always inspires commitment from the people of God. Look at Chronicles 29, verse 9 to 10. It says, and the people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly. Now, first of all, let me say this to you. Nothing's been built. Nothing's been built here. All he's done is share the vision. All he's done is share the vision. He said, he's made a statement, you know what? I'm going to give my whole resources to the Lord. He's made that very clear that he's going to give what he has to the Lord. And they begin to rejoice before the vision became reality. They begin to rejoice before the vision became reality. They rejoice for the opportunity to sow into the vision. Isn't that awesome? Think about it. They rejoice. They get excited about the opportunity to sow into the vision. That God is calling us to have a vision at Destiny Church. And what did David say? David says, God, your praise shall continually be in my mouth. He was so excited about the opportunity to see the vision of God come to pass. We see here where people had a heart of rejoicing in the midst of this time. Because why? Because God had given a vision. And so this is what I dare you right now. This is what the attitude that I'm giving for you as your pastor to Destiny Church, that we begin to rejoice right now. I want you, if you could, just to close your eyes right now and imagine what that first Sunday is going to be like when we move into our own campus. We move into a new campus. So I want you to imagine the people that are going to be there, the people are going to come. Just thinking about the miracle that's going to happen through that. I want you to see that vision, see what God can do, and dream that big plan, how awesome that's going to be. Can you imagine how it's going to be that Sunday morning when we come together? I mean, you talk about people rejoicing. It's going to be easy to rejoice. And now what I want you to do, this is what I dare you as a pastor. I dare you to have that same attitude right now. I dare you to have that same attitude right now, that every Sunday we come together, God, you know what, I'm going to rejoice and thank you, because God, you're giving fresh vision. God, you're leading the people who want to reach people. God, you give us a burden to reach people, the lost. You give us a burden to reach a unique part of people's lives. And God, today we're going to rejoice ahead of time. We're going to rejoice because, God, you're giving fresh vision. God, we're going to rejoice because we're going to give you our best. God, we're going to rejoice because we're, even though we're not there yet, but God, we know what's going to come. And so that's the attitude of praise ahead of time. And it even works in our own life personally. When you have a personal vision for your life, you have visions you want to see come to pass. That you have a vision for a better marriage. You have a vision for your children to be saved. You have a vision to start a ministry. You have a vision to do things in your life. I dare you to praise God like they came home. I dare you to praise God like your marriage has been put back together. I dare you to praise God like your children have been giving their heart back to God. I dare you to praise God like your finances are coming back. I dare you to praise God like you've been blessed like you never had before. I dare you to praise God ahead of time and see if it doesn't add to the vision. See if it doesn't change your heart. See if it doesn't stir the heart of God. Because why? Because when we praise him ahead of time, we're saying, God, I believe you're big as the vision. God, I believe you're bigger than the vision. God, I believe you're in charge of the vision. God, I believe you're in charge of my life. God, I believe. And see, it's an act of faith that comes that says, I'm ready to praise the Lord ahead of time. But the power of vision always moves his people to a response of commitment. It's a commitment that God's looking for. So we got to say, God, I'm ready. Now today, as we talk about the power of vision, I've talked a lot about personal vision before the past years. Today we're talking about the power of the corporate vision as mainly as a whole, where we're at as a corporate vision. And so I challenge you, when we come in, see yourself. You know what? I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to wait till I walk through those new doors. Every time I walk through these doors, I'm going to thank God I'm one Sunday closer to the vision being passed. God, we're one Sunday closer to where you want us to be. God, we're one Sunday closer. And come in with that heart of expectation, thanking the Lord, thanking God, and praising God that he's met the vision so far. You know, you've heard me share this before, that, you know, we've had a time of beating the lion and the bear. And when God puts forth Goliath before us, we were walk with confidence. And all along the way, God has done that. When we started the Holiday Inn, you've heard me tell the story. I took the money out of my pocket, and it wasn't much, and said, God, here we go. You know, and we didn't know if anybody was going to show up at all, but God began to move, and God began to supply, and we began to grow there, setting up and tearing down the Holiday Inn, had people driving all across town at 7 o'clock in the morning to pick up stages and sound equipment, and guys meeting at 8 o'clock to set up the whole auditorium and stage and sound equipment. And we did this for a long time, and, man, we were wore out. And then we got done, we had to tear it all back down. Didn't have a building of our own, but just ran in there on Sundays at the Holiday Inn. And when they came to us and said, would you like to move into here? And we're like, there's really no way possible. But God said, believe and trust. So he spoke to me. He said, Gene, if I'm trying to do something for you, I'm giving a vision, I'll make it happen. And when we came in, that God opened the door, provided the way for us to get our foot in the door here. And then this place was a total wreck, but we came together as a church family. And God, just everything we needed to be done. God had somebody in the house that could do it. We repainted, we retextured, we stripped down, we remodeled, we built on stages, we added classrooms, we put walls. I mean, things that had to be done, God had somebody to do it all along the way. And it was just a huge miracle that happened when we moved in here, that church, our young infancy size, can move into a place like this. But we still had a lot of chairs to fill. We still had a lot of space to fill. But as you look around, it didn't take long that God's filling it up. It's happening. The vision is coming to pass. So as God has given us this fresh vision for the future, we got to walk in faith and say, God, we're ready to walk in faith. That God, you're doing some big things, and you got a big plan for us in our life. It's just not just our church vision, but it's your personal vision. That God's wanting to grow you. That God's wanting to give you a fresh burden. That he can birth in you a fresh vision. I'm going to invite you to stand today where you're at. We have the worship team come ahead and come to the front, guys. I didn't tell you this ahead of time. Would you guys go ahead and come to the front? How many today would say, Pastor, I'm ready. I'm ready to just tell you just right now that I'm ready to commit to the vision that God has for Destiny Church. Are you ready to do that? Can you raise your hands and say, that's me, Pastor? I'm ready to commit to the vision that God's got for Destiny Church, man. I talked about last week, the power of unity. Let me talk about the power of unity. This is what's it, man. Like there's power and unity that God's wanting to do in our lives. I'm so excited about what God's going to do. I tell you, it's hard to sit down and talk to me one-on-one without this spilling out of me, because I know it's something that the finance committee, we try to get together and talk about other things, and I keep trying to go this route and talk to them about what God's put in my heart. And it just overflows, and they're like, Pastor, it's in you. It's in you, because every time I talk to them, it's just coming out. It's coming out. I was teasing Daryl in the hospital. I said, Daryl, God's got a plan. He's got to have your surgery now so he can come help me build this church. So he's getting them recovered. So it's open heart surgery. Man, God's got a plan. God's got a plan. This is what we're going to do. We're going to close with that course we just sung a while ago, that new course, where you go and what you say, I say. And today, I want us just to raise our hands to the Lord and say, as a sign of commitment, God, I want to commit to your vision. Where you go, I go. What you say, I'll say. What you pray, I'll pray. It's just saying, God, I'm lining up with your vision. I want to go where you called us to go. I want to say what you called us to say. I want to pray what you called us to pray as we connect to the vision. And I dare you to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in advance. I said the people rejoiced for what the leaders had given and said. And today, it's a good Sunday to rejoice. Super Bowl Sunday, you're going to be cheering all day long today. But how many, this is bigger than the Super Bowl in our lives, okay? This is bigger than anything that's going to happen on TV today. That God has wanted to do a tangible vision in a people who are willing to say, God, we believe you're not going to forsake us. We believe you're not going to fail us. But God, you're going to walk along beside us. And when you give a vision, that God, you're going to provide the provision. And we're going to walk in faith. We're going to line up in faith and say, God, we're ready to say yes, Lord, to your vision. Let's sing it again.
Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Yeah. Where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. The world seems to forget. We will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us. What you've done for us. Though the world forget, we will not forget who you are and what you've done for us, what you've done for us. Though the world seems to forget, we will not forget who you are, who you are. You say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray. Oh, Lord, where you go, I go. What you say, I say, God. What you pray, I pray. What you pray, I pray.
Lord, today, can we? Father, today, Lord, with our hands lifted up to you, Lord, we say today to God, we are ready, God, to be people with a burden to follow after your vision, God. A vision that you've given us, God, to reach people in this poor state area. God, there's many people, friends and family that we know, co-workers, people that need to know the love of Jesus Christ. Where they can understand, they can come to a place where they can understand that Spirit-filled Christianity is a place for them, and being led by the Holy Spirit in their life is a place for them. And God, I pray with our hands raised, I pray today that you take away, Lord, any fear, you take away any anxiety. And God, may there be a boldness, a righteousness, God, excitement of knowing that God, where you lead, God, you provide. And God, where you lead, we will follow. And we set our hearts right here today to say, yes, God, I'm committing to the plan. I'm committed to the vision. I'm committed to the place. And God, I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to follow after the plan, the blueprint that you're giving us. And God, we're going to see a harvest come for you, God. And we lift our hands up right now today. It's a form of saying surrender, God. Today we surrender our heart to you. We commit our life to you, saying, yes, Lord, we will follow after you. If you believe us today, say amen. Come on, give God a hand clap today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Though the world
I'll sing it.
Super dead, we will not forget.
Find a home group tonight to get plugged into, okay? Find a place to have a Super Bowl party at. Get plugged in there. If you need a map or directions of different homes, numbers, they're out here on the foyer, the table there. You can pick up those and see the different groups that are provided there. God bless you today. Justin dismisses the word of prayer.
God, we thank you. God, we bless you for your vision, God. But we thank you, God, for this body of believers that you've called to step out in faith and to trust you, God. And Lord, with our hearts bonded together, God, with our faith in you, God, we say yes to your will, God. But we say yes to your vision, God. But we say yes to your purpose, God. And Lord, we pray, God, that as we put feet to your vision, God, and as we pour our blood, sweat, tears, and faith into your vision, God, but we believe, God, that you will miraculously provide every resource that we need to bring your vision to pass, God. But we thank you, God, for, Lord, just having hope in you, God. And Lord, for you calling us to do something greater in your name for your kingdom. And now, God, bless us as we leave this place, God. But let the excitement burn within our hearts, God. And always keep us focused on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.